Democracy, according to modern dogma, is the ultimate way to govern a society. And in contrast to all other forms of government that there have been, democracy is the only one that is not evil. Hypothetically, it enables all people within a society an equal say in determining the way a society is run, and therefore gives each person greater freedom to live their lives the way they see fit. Realistically, however, this is not the case. Democracy, by enabling everyone a say on the same matters, ensures the voice of the individual is drowned out, and thus only what is shouted out by the majority of voices is ever heard. In any crowd, the option that will be first to rise above the swell of screaming voices will be the one that echoes the herd mentality inherent to the crowd, i.e. the option that least jeopardizes the immediate material well-being of the masses. This may not seem too terrible a way to rule, as on the surface of it, it seems like a fairly reasonable way to ensure the safety of the population, prevent potentially dangerous elements from arising within society. However, the problem lies within the crowd's inherently materialistic conception of what is the best, safest, and healthiest thing for a society. The crowd fear their own mortality, and live in the continual hope of being able to avoid the grave. They dislike everything that reminds them of their unavoidable fate, and do their utmost to shut out the reality of death from their lives, for which they create restrictions upon what can and cannot be discussed or acknowledged within society. Through the threat of alienation and therefore starvation, impoverishment, and the greatly reduced chance of breeding, the crowd are able to pressurize people into accepting their insane moral boundaries. Through democracy, are able to ensure big, difficult decisions that might endanger their lives are prevented from being made. Whilst this nearsighted attempt at denying reality creates a short-term degree of material ease and presents no obvious danger, it strips life of the possibility for risk, adventure, and heroism, and thus leaves people existentially dissatisfied with life. Long-term, it weakens the population and fosters unrest and division within society. Without clear leadership, society is brought to a state of inertia, whereby it stops striving and stops growing. Democracy, therefore, is ruled by the logic and the pressure of the crowd. Only those ideas that seem pleasant to the crowd are accepted, whether they be rooted in reality or not. And only those people who affirm crowd beliefs are permitted to take part in society.
Oh, We'll be right back. bring it in another world. Have you ever been to
tragedy is amongst the greatest of artistic expressions. It is a romantic appraisal of life, transcending beyond death itself to find triumph and purpose in facing up to mortality. All of the great tragedies of the ancient world, from Oedipus to the exile of the sons of Ishlu, dealt with the tension that arose when social boundaries and the desire to find a fundamental sense of satisfaction in life were found to be in conflict. Very often the fate of the protagonist was told beforehand, which meant invariably that they were to meet a grisly and abrupt end. Once death is understood as inevitable and the boundaries of moral and social law are realized as illusory, the protagonist proceeds to seize hold of life without fear of the unavoidable. In the case of both the tales of Oedipus and the exile of the sons of Ishlu, the tragedy is in fact born out of the protagonist's self-imposed isolation from society for striving for what it was they desired. In tragedy, the idea of accepting death and transcending it are seen as inextricably entwined in a nihilistic romanticism. To discover the things that are truly of value in this world, one's worldview must exceed the temporary nature of the human lifespan, which often means gladly exceeding also the confines of a mortal life. Once we confront our own deaths, we not only unleash our minds from the burden of fear, but also enable ourselves to look beyond socially defined limitations of behavior, to see the world as it really is, and begin to truly realize the potential for an existentially fulfilling life. When the crowd perceive a person to be exceeding the boundaries of decorum that they lay down to ensure their own material safety, they will try to destroy that person, for fear that what little bit of existence they have managed to grasp a hold of will be jeopardized by that person's recklessness, and they will be forced to confront the abyssic emptiness of death. They are bitter twofold, at their own inability to find fulfillment in life for fear of stepping into the unknown, and at the disregard that is shown for their petty moral laws by those who dare to search for the fulfillment they lack. If we are to survive as a species, and if we are to at all lead contented lives, we must conquer the fear of death and not shy from the spirit of tragedy that has been carried down to us through the ages. It's precisely because we have faced down risk and sought out heroic opportunity without fear of moral recourse in the past that we have survived so long and we have aspired to do great things. Things may be a little stagnant nowadays, but we can make something of life again. We can return to life the spirit that fostered greatness within us.